This morning, we're going to look at a few little Bible narratives and how these lovely ladies have perhaps seen God working in their own lives. But first, let's have a little introduction here. Who are you?
I'm Doc. Or as my brothers used to call me, Dirt Dog. That's why I'm where I am.
Okay, we'll blame them. Yeah. And?
I don't know if we're using these microphones or not.
Yes, we are. You know what? If you've got a big voice, go for it. Whatever you want.
I'm Carol Patterson, and I am good friends with Deb and Dave for a very long time before they got married. Mm-hmm. And I do not have children, but God's called me to a different life. I am the CEO of Shepherd's Gate, which is a homeless shelter for women and children.
All right, welcome, ladies.
I'm a mother of three children.
Mm-hmm.
Six grandchildren.
All right, so what we have is a grandmother helping to raise the next generation. We have a woman that's in the thick of it, and we have another woman that's standing in the gap for many. And we're going to start with our first story, which is Hannah's story, and it's in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we see that the Lord closed Hannah's womb and that her husband's second wife taunted her about it. This went on for years, year after year. She taunted her. And whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, which was the temple, her rival would just like provoke her, you know. And basically Hannah would cry, she wouldn't eat, she'd be depressed. And while she was in the temple, this is verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, and then I will give the Lord back the son all the days of his life. And then Hannah continued to pray in the temple there. She was praying though in her heart. Her lips were moving, but there was no words. So the priest was thinking, oh, this lady's drunk. And he told her, you just get rid of your wine. But Hannah said, not so. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled, not drinking, but pouring out my soul to the Lord. So the priest sent her away, and when he did, he blessed her. He said, may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. So Hannah returned home. She was with God's peace, and in time, she conceived a son, which is Samuel. And you can imagine how precious Samuel would have been to his parents. And they kept Samuel at home. He didn't go to the temple until he was weaned, which in this case is 3 years or longer. And then they took him to the temple. And this is what happened. They brought the boy to the priest, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord, and he has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give my son to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over. So Hannah gave away a precious gift. She gave her son Samuel back to the Lord. So when we look at that, how do you see perhaps God's character in that narrative, or something that stuck out about Hannah? Just what stuck out to you in that story?
So the one thing is she's praying. She's consistently praying, and God always hears our prayers. Even though there are days you're like, are you hearing me, Lord? Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's not answering right then and there, but he does hear our prayers, and that he did bless her.
Yeah.
Those of you who know me know I don't cry a lot, but when it comes to my kids, that's an exception. And so I don't know that I really had an awareness about the story at the time. But I was very surrendered at that time, so I grieved a lot. And Jackson's my rainbow baby, so the one that I'm consistently saying he is yours. Like, I even jokingly say he is yours because I'm like, he's yours. So whenever he acts out, Lord, like, he's yours. But there's like a consistent theme for me around Hannah surrendering. So her willingness to like not, she knew that there was a desire in her heart that God gave her, so she was surrendered in that. So that's kind of what I see.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I've been thinking about Hannah when she knew to go to her Lord. Mm-hmm. She made a deal. Mm. And I don't know, that's still going on in my head. Is that the right thing? But she made a deal. It was answered. And afterwards, her husband, she told her husband, I'm staying home until he's three, then I go and I give him back to God, and he said, do as you see best. So, I don't know, say mothering, that gets a little bit into it. She told her husband. Back then you didn't tell your husband, but God was blessing all this, uh-huh. And he agreed with it. So, and giving the vow, well, she followed through on it. So
that would have been hard, huh?
Yeah.
Have you ladies had to give up something as you parented? Have to give up something to God every day?
My pride.
Oh, pride, yes.
Yeah, like for me, motherhood is very much learning how to be sacrificial, which mm-hmm. is not like my strength in character coming into motherhood. So giving up my expectations is definitely something that I've had to learn. My body. All of it. So yeah. Pride in the way that I look or the way that I feel. It's just constantly, for me, it's an internal thing.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. Carol?
So I had to give up the dream of being a mother. I very much was a woman who dreamed of that blonde-haired little girl mm-hmm. by my side mm-hmm. after marriage. But I remember exactly the day that I was driving and near Oracle's campus in Redwood City, and God would say, Carol, that's not the life I have for you. You need to give that up, and I will bless you in a totally different way.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that he would call me to care for children that are suffering in homelessness and addiction mothers, or they're in foster care. And today, that is my world. And I care for so many kids, but I want the best life for them and the best whole moms to invest in those moms, because these kids are banking on that mom to get better. Mm-hmm. So that's the life that God's called me to, and I would have never thought that, and I'm so blessed to be that person.
All right. So we see Hannah never gave up. She trusted her faithful God. So we will look now at a mom who met God in the wilderness. And this is Hagar's story in Genesis chapter 16. So Abraham was married to Sarah, and she was unable to conceive. So Sarah, she took matters in her own hands. Can you relate? I think all of us can. She handed her maidservant Hagar, an Egyptian slave, over to her husband, and Hagar conceived. And Genesis tells us the two women just did not get along, and that Sarah actually mistreated Hagar so much that Hagar fled. And Hagar fled and ran away deep into the desert. And as she ran, the angel of the Lord appeared, and he encouraged her to return. Part of what he was saying to her was, the Lord has heard of your misery. And in verse 13, it tells us that on that day, Hagar gave a name to the Lord who spoke to her, saying, you are the God who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me. And this is the one time someone named God, and it's the name of El Roy. And then we see in chapter 21, Hagar returned to Abraham's household, and later Sarah got pregnant, and she bore Isaac. Isaac, yeah. make sure I got that right. Yeah. So the rivalry continued, you can imagine, between the two women, and even tension developed between the two boys. And Sarah demanded of her husband, "You send that woman away." And he did. He sent Hagar off again with just a little bit of water and a little bit of food. Now Hagar is again wandering in the desert. This time she has her son with her. And she's wandering aimlessly around, and her water was gone. But God again saw Hagar and heard her cries. And verse 19 tells us, "The Lord God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the son a drink." And God continued to be with Hagar and her son. Now, when looking at her story, how do you see God's character or Hagar? What did you learn from her?
When Hagar, question, she didn't want to put her son in the shade. She
Well, Hagar sort of made me very mad.
Oh.
How can a mother put your crying baby in the shade and move further away because it's too hard for you to watch him die? You can't do that. You can't do that as a mother. So her character, I pretty much say she didn't have any character. She ended up putting herself first. Mm-hmm. You just don't. I can't perceive a mother doing that. So,
I'm sure you're not alone in that thought, Dorothy. What else do we see?
Yeah, for me, I'm very critical when it comes to myself as a mother, so I probably have had those moments, to be honest, where I'm like throwing the towel.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
It's momentary, I think.
Yeah.
so I guess I have some like sympathy in terms of feeling that way sometimes. And what I love about the story is that God sees her, mm-hmm. because I feel like for me in motherhood, I'm very aware of my like inadequacies and my incompetence, which is why it's so hard for me, because that's a personality challenge for me, is like confronting my vulnerability. And so having a God who sees me is really important, and who's like, "Leanna, I never expected you to be enough. You don't need to be enough. I just need you to keep showing up." And I feel like through that, through what Hagar had been through, it was sort of like, how am I supposed to do my job in these circumstances? So I identify with that. And just the reality that we consistently don't do what is best, but God fills in the gap, and the fact that he's willing to do that. So I see God's grace in that, and I definitely, as a mom, feel like I'm learning how to become more dependent on God, which is better for my kids. So recently, one of my cousins, she's pregnant, she's having a baby, and they asked us to write some advice. And it's funny that you say in the thick of it, because exactly what I wrote in the beginning is, this is coming from a mom in the thick of it. And what I said was, learn to apologize.
Aww.
Because that's, I have a lot of moments of just like, I'm not doing a good job. I'm doing the best that I can. So learning how to parent each one better is really important. But in doing so, I'm learning a lot about myself and growing there too.
Yeah.
Okay, back to me. So I see a lot of moms just like Hagar in this situation that have placed their children underneath that bush, and because of addiction or homelessness, and they have lost all hope, and it is reaching out to those women and helping them see that God has not left them, and that they need to just even raise their heads up a little bit to believe in that that God will provide and reunite them. Usually children are in foster care at that point when women are so low that they've gone to homelessness and addiction, and there's so much shame and guilt. And it's quite a journey to help a woman raise her head up and believe enough. And then working with the court system and Child Protective Services and reuniting them in small ways, whether it's 2 hours or overnight stay or permanently placing them back with the mother. So it's constantly encouraging women not to abandon their children, and that God has a way of reuniting you.
Okay, thank you. So now let's look at a woman who stood in the gap for many. That's Queen Esther. And as you know, Esther was a Jewish and was asked by her mentor Mordecai to go before her husband. Her husband was the king. And he wanted her to beg for mercy and plead for the people because a law had been put out that all the Jews were to be annihilated. But there was just one problem. And chapter 4, verse 11 tells us that the officials and all the people knew that any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, like if he didn't ask you to come in, there's but one law, and that was that person would be put to death. So for Esther, she had to choose the life of herself or her people. But she chose to put on her royal robes and approach the king. And in the story, we see that she was not put to death and that her efforts came to fruition as the king reversed his decision, giving all the Jews the right to assemble and to protect themselves. So even though God's not mentioned specifically in Esther by name, how would you see his character in there or something you saw in Esther's character?
For me, I see God as a protector in that story. Mm-hmm. That's what stands out for me. And then in terms of her character, it's the willingness to, I don't know, I always come back to the word surrender. It's where I'm at in life, so if it doesn't resonate with you, I understand. But the willingness to like surrender and count on protection. Mm-hmm. And being willing even if it doesn't come.
Yeah. I know that she had came up with a plan. Mm-hmm. And just didn't stomp in there, but she was wise mm-hmm. in her character and trusting the Lord, I assume, to help give her the ideas and the steps to take and the timing.
Yeah.
For sometimes for God's will in our life, it may be, but we can blunder ahead or we can, if we're timid, stay back so far it can't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I would agree with you. God gave her that plan. And to acknowledge that it was his plan. We often tend to think that it's our own thoughts, mm-hmm. but God gives us tremendous amount of wisdom and plans, mm-hmm. and to pray on those and to honor him and give it back to him. Mm-hmm. You really have to keep that at the forefront and continuously hold yourself accountable. So that's what I see in her.
Mm-hmm. Okay, have you ladies ever remember time we've had to advocate for those in your care like Esther? Has any of you had to stand up? You want to share? Well, you don't have to.
I don't think my daughter Kim minds.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I was going to ask you ahead of time and I forgot. Kim has a learning disability, and when she's young in public school, teachers would share with me about the reading level and attention. Mm-hmm. So anyway, trying to work on it, getting tests is very expensive, not our income level. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I ended up with a friend homeschooling, trying to meet it. And the advocacy was when we got to sign her up for junior college. Making sure. We went to a college and asked about testing. We had another test, but current testing. Anyway, they did it. Then after they did it, I don't know if you remember, they came back in and with that, the diagnosis, or whatever you want to call it. And he said, I don't know why we did this. We never do this for them students coming in. So advocating, God worked through that. Mm-hmm. And it just gave her what she needed. It was like, she knew the answer, she just took longer to format it and get it down. So they gave her longer time for the test and one note taker for a while. And of course, y'all know well enough to know is when I tutor kids, because they usually have reading difficulty, whatever, keep telling them, when you graduate, nobody's going to ever ask you if you stayed behind a year, if somebody had
That's
to
right.
help you. Mm-hmm. Nobody will care. Mm-hmm. You'll get a job. I always tell the little boys, you're going to grow up and find the sweet little thing, and you're going to want to take her out. Well, you need to be able to fill out a job application, get the money, get the card, pay for dinner, get them some motivation. So anyway, and you all know Kim has a wonderfully full life.
Uh-huh.
So,
all right.
And so God honored that.
All right. Any other advocacy to be shared? Or?
Yeah, I'll share one that's not my children, but many of you know I'm sort of a, I don't know what to call it, surrogate mom for four girls in my life. And their transitions and changes through that, they lost their mother. And so through the recent transition, it just happened this past week, my brother, I'm like, is this being recorded? My brother, who he's just going through a lot, was very, very frustrated with one of my nieces and that she's transitioning into adulthood and all of that. And I could tell his frustration was so high that he couldn't tap into grace. And he said to me, well, I've never been an angsty young girl like that. I'm like, well, I have. So let me tell you a little bit about it. So just the ability to be able to be available in that moment to advocate for grace, because that's what she needed. And I had to do it in a moment where I wasn't sure of the consequences, the impact. Like my relationships, multiple, were on the line, but God was really good in terms of being able to sort of clear the way. But there are moments like that fairly often with my own kids. I remember one time, because Jackson has similar sort of struggles, and they were telling me all the things that he was doing that weren't right or weren't good enough. And I said, I just want you to know how he sees it from his perspective. And I said, you know, he came home the other day and said, well, I'm weird. Like, I want you to know he feels all of the things in his own perspective. So in that moment, there were multiple people there, not just his teacher for that year and the principal, and that allowed that grace to be able to help him through what he was going through. And then the benefit as a mom is hearing back the positive feedback, because they were aware of the fact that he was being sort of othered by them as much as other children.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you for being there for it.
Yeah.
So I advocate for the homeless quite a bit, and I am a carpenter's daughter at an early age, but I had no idea that God would give me a plan that create buildings for to house more homeless women and children. And it's a huge plan. But I call it Noah's Ark's plan, because God gave me this vision. There is no way that I could fathom to put strategically all these bits and pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know it's his plan. Now, government officials have offered me free buildings, and I have said no, because along with that comes the requirement to take out the Christ component of my program. And so people are very in, you're going to give up millions of dollars? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes. This is so important, because really, God transforms people's lives. It's not our program. Mm-hmm. And so you can build all the homeless shelters you want, but for longevity of their lives being transformed, I have to keep my eyes on him. But, you know, my campus is not done yet. God hasn't closed that huge door yet of the finished product. But step by step, he's moving in that direction. And I have to have patience and continuously draw people around me that will pray and fast towards that building being built. So.
All right. You ladies, you're out there. Okay, our last narrative is Mary, the mother of our Savior, and we're all familiar with her story. She was a girl, likely 12 or 13, and was engaged to a carpenter when the unexpected happened. An angel was sent to tell her that she had found favor with God and would bear the Son of the Most High. Now, Mary was taught to expect the Messiah. She wasn't told that, you know, that she was going to bear him or rear him. So you can imagine this is quite a shock. But Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. So Mary embraced God's unexpected plan for her life. And in her motherhood, she likely started out with fear and anxiety, followed by years of work, and then culminating in moments of intense pain. So when you think about Mary and the narrative, what do you see about God's character or Mary's character? Because I know you all know the story.
I would say blind obedience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she had no idea that what was coming. Mm-hmm. And that she totally allowed God to use her in this way.
Mm-hmm.
She set aside all her own personal desires and wishes and said, okay. There are many times that we walk in blind obedience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking how she spent Jesus' entire lifetime praying for him.
Mm-hmm.
And wondering what was going to happen. And then when it, things turned south, they ended up going to be crucified, that though her heart broke, she still said, God, take care of him and take that your will be what it is. She mm-hmm. still wanted God's will.
Yeah.
When part of her screaming no, in a way.
Yeah. Hard for us to imagine. So have you embraced God's will in difficult circumstances when you faced a different reality? Have you seen that in your own lives? Leanna's shaking her head, yep.
Yeah, I mean, I've shared a lot about it already, but I have three very different children, and I don't think I anticipated well what it meant to be their mom. And so God has a way of showing up and kind of making my will irrelevant, if that makes sense. I mean, really honestly, that's why I keep using the word surrendering, because each of them are so different. And I had a conversation with a child psychologist, because we've done a lot with Jack. And I said, well, I'm like the same mom for all three of them, so I do not understand. I do not understand why, like, the struggles are so different. She's like, well, you can't be the same mom for all three of them.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do then? So constantly... I know later we're going to talk about this, but like the scripture, I don't have one. I have one in different moments mm-hmm. because I'm just trying to see God's will. I had one of my friends say to me recently, well, what do you think is their spiritual gift? And I'm like, all right, now I have to figure that out too. So it's just like constantly having to, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. Like in parenting them, yeah. Well, that's why I jokingly say, like, he is yours or she is yours, mm-hmm. because I don't have any clue. It's like my will is irrelevant. My job is to help them realize what God has for them. Nothing to do with my expectations, which we've already established is a problem. So being sacrificial in that way and really just giving up my expectations of who they're supposed to be or what their behavior is supposed to look like at this age. Mm-hmm. You know, so really... that's what I've had to give up, is my own will for them.
Okay. Thanks for sharing.
bouncing off of you, my husband and I had expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I said had. Our children are all going to get a college education, BAs. My mother always said, anything learned is never wasted. And even if they wanted to be mothers, well, you can still, whatever. Anyway, long story short, my two daughters got AAs and things, and the son, again, we're below traditional minded, at least he didn't even get any degree. So God humbles you, but and how he's his plan for them and how he's going to work it out. My third child that's not here, as far as God, letting it over to God. Mm-hmm. We were at a district meeting. They're having a prayer time, and we're in it, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me very strongly and about to pray something. And when he does that, I always test the spirits. I say, no, that's just me. I'm, you know, passionate. So I quiet down. Then it came back, and I said, okay, when the right time comes and it's all quiet, so I'll do it. And it happened. And anyway, all said and done, the Holy Spirit told me I was to give my son to the president of our seminary, by his name, different now, Gib James DeFred. He was in eighth grade. So, okay. So, calm down. I did the prayer he wanted, and somebody, that was actually for somebody to hear. I found out later. But I gave him to the Lord, and somebody reminded me of Mary. Somebody mm-hmm. think of that? How she continued to pray for her son forever till whatever God's will was. Mm-hmm. So with my son, and that, again, the president of the seminary, what all exactly that means and what shape, I'm still in the praying spot.
Okay. And when we think of you, we can pray for you and James. Carol, Mary?
So with Mary, the blind obedience, mm-hmm. that is kind of what my story has been, to walk out in faith and blindly. I would have never thought that I would have been who I am today if I didn't step out and want to serve God. I was an executive in high-tech firm and traveling the world, and it was a little program in after-school program in East Palo Alto when it was one of the top 10 most dangerous cities in America. And I went there and I did math tutoring, and that is where God captured my heart and asked me to do so much more. Mm-hmm. I'm like, these children need so much more than knowing how to do this math equation. They need food, they need love and caring. And so I looked at the organization that I was volunteering at, and they needed an executive. And usually I was stolen away from companies, but in this situation, I had applied. My husband had said, yeah, let's take that 80% pay cut and you serve the Lord. And it was like maybe 2 months later, and they still hadn't called me back. And I finally got in to say, so what's the deal here? And they're like, we want to make sure that God has brought you to our door. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're gifted, but we want to make sure that God's brought you to our door. And from that moment on, God changed my whole life to serve him. And you would not typically think that I'm walking some of the most dangerous cities in America, or in drug-infested areas, or in Kenya and Upper Sudan, bringing water relief and food to children. But I walk out in blind faith that he will protect me mm-hmm. wherever I go, and that he will comfort my husband that's usually at home working to pay the bills. And so he has used me in so many different ways that I would have never thought that this local Bay Area girl would have done. So it is just stepping out and giving him control of your life.
All right. Okay, we have two more questions. Now tell us, what is your greatest joy for those that you care for? What's your joy? Because we heard about some hardships, so let's have some good stuff.
For me, it's the laughter.
Huh?
So, again, like, I have lots of different kiddos in my life, biological and other, and when I hear the laughter, that's what brings me joy. And so I don't know what else to say other than laughter, because that's really
great.
What it is. That's what brings me joy.
Yeah. Dot, what brings you joy?
Yes, I'm a laugher. But I thought about it in a different way. What brings me joy has always been.
It's okay.
All my children would be saved and have a love, close love relationship to the Lord. And I'm one short of that goal.
Prayer.
And that, just knowing that, regardless of what hardships they go through and the unfair things that happen to them in life, that they don't give up on God. Because I had a time where I got cold. And that's an awful feeling. Fortunately, I came out of it. But that's it. That's what would make me happy.
All right. And Miss Carol, where's your joy?
I would say that seeing a child that has overcome extreme trauma, uh-huh, and being able to go to school and laugh and function after I know what their previous life has been, yeah. I just sit there and wonder and go, God, you are so good to have rescued that child. And God knows exactly when I need a hug, because a child will come running up to me and give me the biggest hug, and I'm like, God, you knew I needed that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last question. God's promise, some scripture, what keeps you sustained, fulfilled? I mean, how share with these people what you run to in the Word. A promise or a verse?
So I previewed that I've been thinking about this one. So mine tend to be different at different times. Mm-hmm. And I don't call myself a worryful person, but it shows up in motherhood very strongly for me. And the first time I remember God really getting a hold of me in my motherhood was when we were moving for Edward's residency. I didn't have a job. It was not the place I expected. And at that time, it was Matthew about seeking first the kingdom of God. And then just this week, like, this verse came back to me. And I was like, I haven't studied that one in such a long time. And we had studied Philippians on the drive out as a family. And then I was a chapter ahead, it turns out. So this is Philippians 4:4-8. And it ends talking about how God will give you peace. But it's, be full of joy always because you belong to the Lord. Again, I say, be full of joy. Let all people see how gentle you are. The Lord is coming again soon. Do not worry. Learn to pray about everything. Give thanks to God as he asks, as you ask him for what you need. The peace of God is much greater than the human mind can understand. This peace will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Christian brothers and sisters, keep your minds thinking about whatever is true. This is the part that I recalled that I hadn't seen in a while. Keep your minds thinking about whatever is true, whatever is respected, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever can be loved, and what is well thought of. If there is anything good and worth giving thanks for, think of these things. And so what came back to me, and then I had to go find it in the scripture, was meditating on things that are good. Mm-hmm. And then I was like seeking after this. So this is new, like fresh off the press as of this week.
Yay.
But that's where God has me right now.
Okay, thank you. Carol?
So 2 years ago, God gave me this verse, and there's a little girl running around here earlier with a cape on. And
Leanna's daughter.
So she reminds me of a statue in New York called Brave Girl, Fearless Girl, and it is to be an icon to help women get into boards of corporate 500 companies. But that little statue represents to me a little girl with a cape and Fearless Girl. And the little girls that come to me, if I can just help them in a week or a year that they're with us, if they can believe this verse and carry this through the rest of their lives, they're going to make it. and it's Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so what I've done is I've taken that statue of Fearless Girl and I've taken this verse and I've plastered it all over my campus. So little girls that are getting a drink at the drinking fountain see that. And I just pray that they would believe in this verse.
All right. Thank you. Miss Dot, one scripture that comes to mind or a promise?
I always type them up and tape them here and there because each time it speaks to me. And the one you mentioned there, I believe is the last one I heard, and I didn't get the scripture reference, but I typed real quick, and that one's taped to my computer. I have them on my wall in my front room. Scriptures that just, I need to be reminded.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was basically do not be dismayed. God is with you, and he goes before you.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at that before I came here today because I didn't really want to do this.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Because I knew I was going to get emotional.
It's okay.
And that he was here and that he would give me, I only want to say what words he wants to say.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. Well, thank you, ladies. I'll invite the worship team to come up. So we see motherhood is a partnership, right? It's partnering with God. And in the stories we saw, and in your own stories, we saw that it took a faithful God and a trusting servant. It took a trustworthy God and a humble servant. It took a directive God and a fortified servant. And it took a perfect God and a willing servant. So I thank you for sharing. We appreciate all your thoughts and all your insight. And let us worship the Lord. Thank you.